Morning, church. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Samuel 17. We'll get there in just a little bit. I'm going to talk about some other stuff before we get to our lesson today, and I promise you that my lesson will be very compact and dense and quick. If you'll just hang with me here and let me get through these other ideas that will help us not only worship God today, but help us also to worship in the future. The first of which is, after we have our morning assembly, we are going to dismiss to our younger kids to their normal place, and then we, as the older, more aware, will stay here in the auditorium. Now, I have to be very upfront and honest with you. I would rather take a spoon and cut slowly between my fingers than have a safety discussion. However, just because I feel that way toward a safety discussion does not mean, A, that it is not necessary, and B, that we should not all be grateful that we have men here in this congregation who have devoted themselves to a ministry of taking care of us even when we are not thinking about it. I have talked a couple of times over the last couple of weeks to Mr. Staggs about today, and he constantly says the same thing, that he is nervous. I love his heart, and I love what he has done for us as a congregation in the matter of safety. And I know that this, again, is not an easy topic for a lot of people here, but it is the world in which we live in. And God has always wanted us to be prepared. And I think back to being a child and going through the scout programs, that was one of the very first things that we were taught, was to be prepared. And we as a congregation may not enjoy this idea or this world in which we live, but being prepared is a responsibility that God has given us. And we have men who have dedicated themselves to this ministry, and we should be grateful for that. Secondly, tonight we start one of my favorite ministries that we do here at Etheridge, and that is our small group ministry. It is an absolute huge importance for us as a congregation as we grow numerically to somehow grow smaller. And what I mean by that is we grow larger to grow smaller. If you look around, you'll see that we don't have a whole lot of empty seats here with us this morning. I don't know the numbers. I promise you numbers are not my thing. But I know for like the last 4 to 5 to 6 weeks, we've run somewhere around the number of 300. We're getting very close to everyone's armpits at this moment in this room. We're getting very close, and we don't have a whole lot of room to put other people here with us. And what we need to know about that is that we can see this as a blessing of God, and we need to do something about that. And one of the things that we can do that is, as for the members who have been here for 700 years, we can be a part of these small groups and inviting these people who have not been a part of this so that we have an opportunity to grow our own personal family in relationships one with another. Second of all, these small groups are a wonderful opportunity for fellowship. This year, we have literally written fellowship into the lesson planning. Now, if you have been one of those troopers and soldiers who has been dedicated to Sunday morning, Sunday night services, then you a couple of months ago went through a period of time where I was very large on getting more Bible into your life and different ways of getting Bible into your life and different ways of reading and studying the Bible. One of those ways really stuck or hit a chord with numerous people, and it was about looking at a verse or a passage in the Bible and asking yourself questions as you read through this passage. We're going to do that 50% of the time in our small groups. We're going to start tonight with a passage, and we're going to take that passage as a group, a small group. We will look through that passage, we will discuss that passage, and our goal or mission is to have that verse of Scripture on your mind for the entire week. And then the next week when you come together as a small group, you will have a lesson that is oriented around that passage. Hopefully, having the Word of God living in you for an entire week before you come together again as a small group to have a discussion about that. Now, the weeks that you do the Scriptures will absolutely be more focused on fellowship. It's not a deal where it's going to come together and you're going to spend hours and hours together. And if you've been a part of our small group, sometimes the group does go a little bit longer than you had planned it to go. And I think this is one of those benefits. If you have a leader like me who doesn't talk a lot, then you don't have to worry about, I don't know where Ricky Mabry is right now, but I promise you he's smiling, saying that man is lying. I do talk sometimes, get a little crazy as a leader, but every now and then you have a situation where we've planned into ours, as you do these scriptures week to week, that you have an opportunity to come together and just spend time with one another. Now, also, again, talking about myself, if you know anything about me, if we went out to eat at a restaurant, as soon as they get through eating, I put my fork down and I'm ready to talk to everybody that is sitting at that table. That's not true either. I'm out of there, right? As soon as I'm done eating, I'm done. I came here to eat. Don't know what you came here for. When I get done eating, I'm gone. I'm mission-oriented. This is not what we want to take place on the weeks like we'll start with tonight with our scripture. We want you as a family to spend some time talking through the scripture, but also spend time talking about life. Life as it has come to you recently and life as it has happened. I understand that this is something new for a lot of people in this room. And for a lot of people in this room, I also know that this is, like one of my favorite times of the year. I would absolutely put hands down, beyond these walls and small groups are two of my favorite times of the year. Because I normally get to get out and see brethren that I usually see in this setting, in a different setting, and it is a wonderful time. If you are not yet assigned to a small group, or your leader has not contacted you, if you will please just let Brad know this morning, listen, it is still possible to be a part of this ministry that we have going on here at Etheridge, and we want you to be a part of that. We don't necessarily have a theme this year. We have more of a progression. This is because Cody went and got educated. It's just one of those deals in graduate school. And we were sitting around talking about it one day, and he talked about how we need to do a progression. And so that's what we're talking about in our small groups this year. It's growth. It's not a theme. It's just an idea of we're going to start in souls and we're going to end in fruit. And it's the idea of growing, the idea of growth and how we progress through growth biblically and also in our own lives spiritually. This is my introduction to these two things this morning. And now before we talk about anything else, I would like to go to God in prayer. Father, we bow before you this morning. First of all, Father, I'd like to say thank you so much for people that are not like me. Father, I pray for our safety team as they have devoted numerous hours to getting it right, Father, to doing the best that they can to keep us here as a congregation prepared for any negative thing that may occur. And Lord, as sometimes it is easy for us to dismiss these things, these men devoting their time into this ministry, help us today as a congregation, Father, to hear the words that they have said, the words that they prepared for us, that we also may hear from their training and learn from their training and be a congregation that is prepared to the best of their ability. Father, also as we think about today, as we worship you as the Almighty God, we think about us here as a family. And as we have grown, Father, we are so grateful for the numerical growth. Lord, help us to take this blessing and do what we can to grow now spiritually as a family of God. Father, help us as we go into these small groups on Sunday evenings now to do what we can to grow in your word. Father, to better prepare ourselves for the fight and the war that goes on daily in our lives. Lord, let your word enter our lives and let it grow. Father, let us use the words that we learn from your scripture to go out into this world and make the world a good place, a great place, a better place, Father. Most importantly, Lord, use us as a medium so that the world can see you through us as our only desire, Father. All these things we pray this morning in your son's name. Amen. When we come to the story of David, I cannot help but think about this stage. Two men come to mind immediately, Eddie Stedman, most recently, fell right here close, very hard, as a little stone from David's sling went deep into his head. And years back, before that, the very first time I'd ever seen anything like that, David Workman went face first into this carpet in such a way that he was so devoted to his acting role, I was convinced he may have had a heart attack at the exact moment that he was supposed to fall. And I don't know if any of you guys were here or part of that and remember that. He bounced on this stage, and I was like, that's a little bit too much devotion for a church play right there. But when I think about David, I have those two things that come into my mind, and I think about our kids, how they have, through the years, put this play forth for us, this story before us, and it is Such a wonderful thing to think about. I think about 1 Samuel 16, where we see Samuel, who is literally giving up as he's reflecting on his life and sees nothing any good happen. He has first anointed a king for the nation of Israel, knowing before he does it, it is a failure. He does it, and then the king that he anoints becomes a failure. As an old man looking back on his life, he looks at maybe his own personal family, his own bloodline, seeing that his own children are nowhere near close to God as they ought to be. God calls him one more time to stand up, fill his horn with oil, and go anoint the next king of Israel. You guys know this story so well, not just from the plays that we have put forth here through the years, but because it's one of those good stories. It's one of those stories that we hear because it's a story of victory of God's people. It's a story of reverse mentoring, something that through the years I have come to understand more and more. Reverse mentoring today for us is when you get a smartphone and cannot figure out what to do with it, and you call your grandchild into the room like, "Would you please take this and open it up so and so?" That's reverse mentoring. And here in this story of David and Goliath, what we have is we have a young boy teaching us what men should have been teaching us. But there's a part of this story that has always stuck out to me that maybe we don't discuss enough. Why is David there, and why does he stay? Let me tell you what happened this morning in Iuka, Mississippi. 1569 Pleasant Hill Road. My father arose. He stumbled into the kitchen, and he made himself a cup of coffee. He went back onto his own screen porch, and he devoted about 15 minutes to have it for me. You can figure that one out later. He came back into the house, and he took a shower. And then he got into his truck, and he drove to see his mother. As he's done every day since I've known him, some routine, some form of that routine, the thing that always was true was that he went to see his mother. Now, there could be different reasons that we could suggest that he went to see his mother. Years back when my grandmother was a little more healthy, I do not know the age of my grandmother. I can tell you that my mother turned 73 this week. That's just if she's listening. At that moment, she passed out. But she turned 73 this week, so my grandmother's older than that. And years back, we would go to her house because she would prepare breakfast for anybody that would come to her house. And my dad, since he was a boy, has always gone to his mama's house to get breakfast. But now she's older, and you could say there's different reasons. Maybe he went out there to see if she's still alive. You may not want to hear that. So maybe I should use a different example. Recently in our little town, we had a storm come through that at first glance looked like it only hit members of the Churches of Christ. I was very concerned about this because everybody I knew that got hit by the storm was a member of the Churches of Christ. But I want you to think about all the people. If Boone Gobble could have got a ticket stand and put it out there in front of his house, think about all the money he could have made over the last 3 days. And everybody that drove by, don't you know their heart was pure? Don't you know exactly why they had gone to see this damage? The day of the storm, don't you know there were people out there that were in the way that were just getting over there to see if the Gobbles were okay? I wonder if the Gobbles are okay. And everybody that had filled their tank up to go see that storm damage, the only reason that they had driven that far to see that damage was their concern and love for the Gobbles. Do you believe that? I bet you know better than that. It's the same reason people watch NASCAR. Every now and then, they want to see a wreck. So why does David go? Now, we have what the Bible talks to us about, right? He's hanging out at his house one day, and Jesse sends him. Jesse says, "Take this to my boys," because his three oldest sons have been drafted into the army of the Lord. And so David goes. And David goes, and as he gets there, he sees Goliath. And it's after verse 17, which in 1 Samuel 17:17, we're told that his dad sends him to the war, sends him out here to these older brothers, because he wants to know how his older brothers are doing. After all of that takes place, and Goliath comes onto the scene, David's brothers accuse him of being a person who might be hanging around for a different reason. You want to know what I know is true in all of this scene? I know that David went because he was sent by his father. I know that his brothers accuse him of hanging around because he wants notoriety. But somewhere in all of that, good happens. And I go to this story and I think about what I know and what I don't know. And I think about as David walks onto that battlefield, the reality of who we are as humans. And that reality is complicated. Just like my dad getting up every morning to go check on his mama. I have no doubt in my heart my daddy does it because he loves his mama. But there's also other factors. When she cooked, I'm telling you what, she could cook so good. She could make something bad okay. She could make something okay great, you know. So there was also the factor of not only did he love his mother, but when she was cooking, I'm pretty sure he went out there to get some breakfast. Also, now that she's older in age, I'm pretty sure he goes out there to make sure she's still okay, that she's still alive. Because, see, we're not simple people. And I think about where we're about to go as a congregation into these small groups. And the reason I wanted to talk about this morning is the reason that we do small groups. I could sit here and draw out for you theologically as a congregation why they're important. First of all, they've worked for us and how they can continue to work. But I want to talk about why you can find within your heart a reason to be brave enough to go tonight. There are many right reasons to go. Just like there's many right reasons to be here this morning. There's many wrong reasons also. And I don't want that to be the motive ever. Just like I think about those storms, I think about the people that got out just to see the damage. They weren't concerned about anybody that was hurt. I don't want to see how bad the damage was. That is not the reason. And as David stays around and his brothers eventually accuse him of this, one of my favorite lines is when David walks on to the battlefield. Because again, we think about all of the things that we know or that are written in the scripture, but we don't think about what it must have been like to have a man who was a giant running at you. And somewhere deep within you, you had to build up the courage to run at him after saying to the world, but to today, this uncircumcised Philistine will fall into the hands of the Lord and the world will know that there is a God in Israel. And then the courage it must have taken to take that first step toward Goliath and run at him with a slingshot. Many of you have wanted to take the next step in your life spiritually, whatever that may be. Many of you are holding on to something because you think maybe your motive is not pure, or you want your motive to be more pure, or you need to find a different reason. I want you to hear me today. My prayer is that you will understand that we are all complicated people. And every time we step to do something, there's not just one reason. Many times there's lots of reasons to do things. I like to believe, call me naive if you will, but the majority of people here this morning are here because of love. Because you've heard the story of God. You've heard the story of His Son. I also like to think that many of you here have many obstacles that lay before you. Some of these obstacles you can do something about. A lot of these obstacles you can't do anything about except give them over to God. But yet you have taken in all of these good motives and these bad situations and you have stayed away from doing what is right. My prayer for you this morning is that you will look at David one more time. What I find interesting about this that maybe we don't see enough is that after Samuel calls David, we see that Saul is haunted by an evil spirit. At the end of 1 Samuel 16, we see that David is called in to play the harp for him, and it soothed his soul. But how little attention, even though this pain that he had and the soothing that came from David's harp, how little attention Saul must have paid to David. How do I know that? Because the next scene that we have is David with the Philistine army and the Israelite army here at this valley, at this standstill. And Saul is asking everyone around him, who is this and whose son is this? You think about that. You think about being tormented by an evil spirit and having someone come in to play a harp for you so that you can be calmed down. Don't you think you would recognize the individual that had calmed you? The end of this story in chapter 17 is the point that this is David, the son of Jesse. That never leaves me. Because I'm afraid sometimes when we go to the story of the prodigal son, we miss the point of the older brother. We miss the point of the loving father. All we see is the prodigal. We read this story and we read ourselves into that story as if we were the prodigal. And when I come to this story and I see this odd fact that seems to be a very important fact, the fact that Saul does not recognize who David is and who David belongs to seems to be a huge point, because of the end of chapter 16 tells us that David came in and played and soothed his soul. Yet we get into verse 17 and all we see is the fight and the victory. And here's what I know from that. I know that David went because his father sent him. I know that David loved his brothers. I know that his brothers accuse him of probably liking a little bit too much of the show, right? Like it'd be a little bit too much in the limelight. And I believe that's probably 100% true. But in the end, I know that the battle that takes place was won before it was ever had, because David was prepared. It's what he told King Saul. You see, a lion and a bear came after one of the sheep, and I was cast to be a shepherd. And when they came, I ran them down, and I grabbed them by the hair of their chinny chin chin, and I delivered the lamb from the mouth and the paw of the lion and the bear. And the same God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear is the same God that will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. A beautiful speech. A speech to the point, no matter what you think, Saul, let me go to the battlefield. The victory is already won. And then the end of this wonderful battle comes this point that Saul did not know who David was. And Saul did not know who David belonged to. The story ends in chapter 17 with that verse that teaches us the point that he says, "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." Now, I think back over this and want to ask myself, why is this part of this story? Why do I have this feeling that this point is so much bigger than what we have given it credit for? And I think back to that purpose in the beginning when I asked you why my dad got up in the morning and went to see his mama. He got up in the morning and went to see his mama because he belonged to her. I could tell you even more about my dad. My dad is a very simple man, but when his dad died, we drove through the graveyard every Wednesday for 3 years of my life. Every Wednesday, we would go pick up Mama from her house, we would drive through the graveyard, stop for a second, and then we would go to church. I'll cry if I talk too much about that, but it was just a simple act that my father did. He wanted to honor his own father, and he wanted to honor his mother, because that's who he belonged to. And he loved them. And what we see displayed for us in the story of Saul is a failure to remember who we belong to, isn't it? The spirit that comes to haunt Saul comes to haunt him only after we see this wonderful example of what it is to not be God's child, to be given an order, to be given a command, to be given a directive and not follow through for whatever reason, whatever lack on our own behalf, to see something that God wants and not to do it, and ultimately have it all removed from us simply because of a moment, a slip, a failure to remember who. I can't help but think that David's telling Saul at the end of this chapter, because after this chapter, crazy truly occurs to Saul. He becomes jealous of a kid. He becomes so jealous, he goes after to kill him. But in this story, this moment of clarity, this moment of opportunity for Saul, I guess, before we go down that valley, we have one last chance, and he cannot for the life of him remember who David is and who David belongs to. I can't help but think that God has given us a very simple message today. First, we are complicated, and our reasons are multiple of what we do things and why we do things. But ultimately, we have to rise early in the morning, and we need to remember who it is in the morning, the very first thing, who we belong to. Where I picked physically on my father, also spiritually, each and every one of us. You want your day to go right. You want your life to go right. Then spend your early morning hours as you rise and wake, remembering who you are and who you belong to. Remembering who you are and who you belong to. And know that when we approach a situation, there may be false motives. There may be some notoriety searching here. There may be a moment where David wants the spotlight, but ultimately he also has good reasons, and he has to allow those good reasons to win and pushing out the darkness all at the same time. This is not about David being the greatest. This is about God showing the world and this uncircumcised Philistine that there is a God in Israel. Whatever your fear may be for you taking the next step within your church family, my prayer this week will be constant and often for you, that you find the courage to do something about that. Forgetting that, but talking about your own personal spiritual journey. Whatever is the blockade, whatever is keeping you from making that next brave step that you know you need to make. Think back to all of those people who came before you. And spiritually think of who it is you belong to. And draw courage from that. Church, this morning, if there is anything that we can do for you, please come now as we stand and sing.